Let's pray together. Father, we come into your presence this morning knowing that you are with us because you have promised us through your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, to be with us. And so we give you thanks. We thank you for your promises, especially as we come in here this morning to be with you and to be with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear the voice of God and what it says, even today, through the living word of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. Is it possible to be still with God in a world that moves so fast? God seems to be very skilled at asking a lot from us. In this one sentence, God asks so much. Believe in God, trust in God, calm down, be still. Hear the word of the Lord from Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Have you ever stepped off an airplane only to feel your body still moving? You know the sensation I'm talking about? Where you've been moving very quickly and then you stop, but you can still feel yourself moving. I had this wonderful opportunity to represent the great state of Texas at Nationals in Washington, D.C. my senior year. But at the convention center and the surrounding hotels, where we had to keep going from place to place, was majority by elevator. Because we had to be on this floor and this floor, and you spent all day long riding elevators to one place, and then you lay down to go to bed, and as you're laying there in bed, you can still feel your body moving up and down if you've ridden an elevator all day. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know the feeling? That's what this Psalm 46 feels like to me, that sometimes when God tells us to be still, when we take God at His word and we go ahead, okay, God, we'll be still, we can still feel ourselves moving. God tells us one thing, but life experience comes and it says, even when you try to be still with God, it's not always as easy as just saying, okay, I'm going to be still. So here's Psalm 46 again. We read it a few weeks ago, but we are returning to it today. So, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow or the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, brothers and sisters, let's talk. Our nation is divided, bitterly divided. The way Psalm 46 characterized it years ago was the nations are in an uproar. Talk about timeless. The Word of God reminds us that our present circumstances are nothing new. Although we read Psalm 46 a couple of weeks ago, our lives were different back then. From the time we read Psalm 46 a couple of weeks ago to the time we just read it a few moments ago, the world has changed. Our lives have changed. And so there is something to be said about coming in and reading a word from God, because a living word is always speaking into a living situation. And guess what? That's what we are in all the time. We are always in a living situation. But the beauty of coming in here this morning and reading a psalm like Psalm 46 is that it is a living word. And so the living word of God is always speaking into our living situation. This year, we've managed to cultivate peace. During a year when peace was far from the global conversation. On any given day, you can turn on the news and you will see worlds at war. Nations at war with one another. Some days, unfortunately, we turn on the news and the lead story is about a mass shooting. This has been this year. Just in one year that we have experienced all of these kinds of things, not to mention hateful rhetoric on all sides towards all kinds of different people. This is what we've experienced. This has been our year. It was kind of audacious of us to come in here and say, we're going to cultivate peace this year. Talk about setting the bar awfully high, or God asking a whole lot of us. But it's what we've done as a church. As a church body, we've come in here and cultivated peace in the face of a lot of not peace. Well, if you follow the order of gifts listed as the virtues that make up the fruit of God's Spirit in Galatians 5, the order is love, joy, peace, and then patience. So a couple of years ago, we as a church body at Bearing cultivated joy together. This year, we've cultivated peace. And so almost 2 years ago, whenever we had conversations about the future of our church and spending time cultivating these virtues together as a body of Christ, we talked about, well, if we're going to follow the order of things, we cultivated joy 2 years ago, we cultivated peace for 2016, well, whenever it gets to 2017, doesn't that mean that we just need to go ahead and cultivate patience? And those of us who've spent a year cultivating patience were the first to say, no. No, because have you ever spent a year cultivating patience? Have you ever prayed for patience, even just once? Not a good idea. So we said, well, if you look at the virtues, as they're listed, you have love, joy, peace, patience, and the next one is kindness. And so, as we were brainstorming this over the last 2 to 3 years, 2 years ago when we were thinking about 2017, we said, well, there's going to be some times where it would be good to cultivate a couple, you know, two at once. Well, we thought this is going to be the prime time to do it, because we don't want to subject such a wonderful congregation to having to spend a year cultivating patience. So we said, let's do two of them together. Why not devote 2017 to cultivating patience and kindness together at the same time? Because when you do that, if you spend a year thinking through patience, if you do kindness at the same time, you're probably going to be a little kinder to yourself while you're cultivating patience. And you're probably going to be a little kinder to those around you who, well, they probably need to cultivate patience too. Well, couple that with kindness, it may make it a little bit easier. So we thought 2 years ago, why not spend 2017 doing that? Well, here's where kind of the truth comes out and where you realize that maybe God was at work in ways that go way beyond your illusions of dreaming these sorts of things up. Little did we anticipate 2 years ago when we had initial conversations about going into 2017, which seemed so far away, that we would be following a season that was anything but characterized as patient and as far from kindness as a national conversation could imagine. We had no idea. 2 years ago, thinking about 2017, that we'd say, well, as a church, let's spend time on patience and kindness. We had no idea what life would look like going into 2017. And truthfully, because we serve an eternal living God, no matter how you voted, no matter how you feel about the outcome of the election last week, it's up to us to at least first acknowledge that this last year has been impatient and unkind. It doesn't matter where you fall on what's happened over the last year. We need, as a church who lives in the world, to at least say, it's okay for us to come out and say, this last year has been impatient and unkind. And I think there's something to be said for just saying that out loud. And it's okay for us to say that out loud with one another. We have experienced, as a people, over this last year, a lot of impatience and a lot of unkindness. But I think that what that means for us as the people of God is that it is now up to us as the people of God to start a revolution of patience and kindness. Rebecca, can you go to the next slide? Okay, there we go. Christians have said for years that Christianity should always, at times, be countercultural. That there is always something to be said for Christianity needs to go against the norms of our culture. Okay, so why not go against the norms of impatience and unkindness for a solid year? Why not just say, no matter how impatient or unkind our experiences are in day-to-day life, we as the people of God are going to devote our time and our efforts in the name of Jesus to being patient and kind. So for Advent, beginning in a couple of weeks, we'll finish out our time of peace, and we'll also overlap going into the next year, patience and kindness. So we might as well start that today. We don't have to wait until Advent. We don't have to wait until 2017. So let's go back to Psalm 46. This is a living word for a living situation. Here is Psalm 46 again. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I have lived the bulk of my life in what I would characterize as two great political eras. You had the Reagan-Bush era and the Clinton-Obama era. Nixon-Ford Carter was just kind of a childhood blur to me. So I know some of you remember that. I don't remember that. That was childhood. But I remember those other two big, sweeping eras of American history that have overlapped one another. Well, during those times, during those big eras, I became a Christian. I finally learned how to love people and how to accept love. I got a good education. I fell in love with the most beautiful smile in Abilene. I worked with some wonderful people to proclaim and live out the story of Jesus Christ our Lord. I raised my kids, traveled the world, wound up in Houston, thanks be to God. And while I don't want to sound dismissive of your fears, your anxiety, your excitement, or whatever you happen to be feeling today, I think it is important for us to say today, as a part of the story of God, that the key line for us today in Psalm 46:2 is a living word. That this key line out of Psalm 46:2, no matter where we are or what we happen to be experiencing in life, is a living word that is just as important because it is still God speaking today. And the line goes like this: therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. There's never a time in human history where that word is irrelevant. Never. And so it's just as relevant today for us to say out loud. And so think about your own life, just you personally. Have you ever gone through any big changes in your life? Have you ever been excited about one? Have you ever grieved about one? Have you ever not cared and just wish you could get back to everyday life where you could focus on the people you love and people who love you? You know what the one constant was during those times that you just imagined? Listen to verses 7 and 11 from Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. And so we get to experience one of those rare moments when God actually speaks. When the silence is broken by the voice of the living God. And that's when God says, not an ancient word, but a living word for this very day. As the living word of Psalm 46:10 comes to life among us today in a new word for today. God says today, be still and know that I am God.